So through this month, we have been going through the Advent series, and we've called it Expectations, because not only did we look forward to Christmas, where we celebrate Jesus' birth, but it's also a time where we can remember that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and that he will return to bring the end about. He will come to bring about judgment to this world, and some will be judged to eternal glory, and some will be judged to eternal punishment. And so we will continue in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, today, and actually we'll be finishing it out. We've gone through 57 verses, and we'll be going through the last verse today, verse 58. So why don't we turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll be looking at the last verse, verse 58. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. This is the reading of God's word. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen. Have you ever experienced burnout in your life? I looked up burnout online, and basically it said on one video, burnout is basically when you feel prolonged stress from some situation or activity. It's not just when you feel stress, because stress can be just momentary, but it's when you feel that stress over a long period of time, and it's just continuous. And because of that continual stress, and you don't know how to get out of that, that's when a person burns out. Now, the idea of burnout can be applied to all different kinds of situations. It could be applied to work, maybe it could be applied to school, or maybe family, or even as you serve at church. Now, for some of us, we, like in a situation, if it's like family, right, we can't really escape from family. Some of us we can, but for some of us, we can't escape. But sometimes when we face burnout, for some of us, if it's through work or maybe serving in the church, we try to find some type of solution to it by escaping, by trying to get away from that situation. Now, today, we don't have time to go over all the different things about how to deal with burnout, and that's not what we're here for anyways. But we want to look at today's passage, and when we look at today's passage, the main idea that we'll see that Paul wants to point to is that when we find ourselves becoming tired of doing what's right, when we find ourselves becoming tired of trying to live for the Lord, what we need to do is we need to look to the Lord, remember that there is a future resurrection, and continue to give it your all. Now, we'll be talking about that. I know for some people, as you hear that, you're like, oh, continue to give it your all. Oh, that sounds so tiring. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. All right, so the main idea for today is, give it your all as you labor in the Lord. Give it your all as you labor in the Lord. And we have 3 points today. Number one is, give it your all. Second point is, as you labor. And the third point is, in the Lord. All right? So give it your all as you labor in the Lord. The first point is, give it your all. Now, as we look at our verse today, it starts off with therefore. And if you've been a student of the word for a long time, then you might know this phrase. You have to ask the question, what is the therefore, therefore? Right? Well, for the past number of weeks, we've been going through chapter 15, and we've been talking about how Jesus Christ died and rose again, and this is the basic gospel. But because he rose again, we also need to keep in mind that there is a resurrection from the dead in the future. That not only did Jesus Christ resurrect from the dead, but every one of his people, actually everyone in the world, will also rise again from the dead. And we have to believe that. That's what chapter 15 is all about. Saying we, our bodies, even though we die, we will be raised to life. Our physical bodies will be raised to life, but it won't be our old body. It'll be changed into this new body. And it's not just some spiritual body, it's a physical body. We will be raised to life. And this is a wonderful thing. This is a great thing. This is wonderful news. This is part of the gospel because there is victory over death. And after Paul finishes saying that, he says in verse 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, in view of the resurrection of the body, not only of Jesus Christ, but of our resurrection body one day, of this promise that we have. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain." Okay, what is the connection between keeping the future resurrection in mind with me being motivated to continue to work? What is that connection? Well, let's think about real quick what that future resurrection will be like. We've been talking about this for a long time, for the past month, so I'm not going to go into all the details. But let me just briefly remind you, there will be a perfected body. We will be imperishable. So our bodies are important because as we think about the future, we see that we will have a perfected body, but that becomes a goal now. Okay, let me try to explain a little bit more. In the future, there will be perfect morals. There will be perfect morals. We will be raised in honor. We'll be raised in glory. Okay, again, in the future, with our perfected bodies, with our resurrected bodies, there will be perfect morals. We have a goal now. And in this life, we strive for that. There will be perfect relationships. And so even now, as we work toward that, we need to work on making our relationships better and better with people around us. There will be perfect work in heaven. And so in this life, we strive for what that looks like, and we try to create an environment in our workplaces, or we strive with our whole ability to make work something that is for the Lord. One day, there will be perfect environment. The world, not only will our bodies be renewed, but the whole world will be renewed. And so the environment will be perfect as well. And not only that, there will be perfect motivations. There will be perfect motivations. So everything that we do in life, in our physical life, one day when Jesus Christ returns, will all be done for God's glory, to see his kingdom, to see our God glorified. His will be done, and our purpose is to see his name hallowed, just like the Lord's Prayer says. And what does the hallowed mean? It just means to say that there is no other name except the name of Jesus Christ. His name is the greatest. He is the greatest. And we glorify him and continue to praise God and say, "You are God. There is none like you." Now, if there is that perfection, that perfect world that we have in mind, then it motivates us to want to become like that. Because we know that the life we live right now is not the end. The life that we have right now is not the end. All the suffering and the struggles that we experience because of sin, we don't have to be satisfied with this. We continue to grow and we learn God's ways and we work towards that with the hope that one day, and it's a promised hope, it will happen, that one day everything will become perfected. And so it's kind of like when you see someone who is a scholar and you see, wow, this person really thinks through all these issues and he has a lot of knowledge. And you look at that person, you say, wow, that person is not perfect, but maybe close to perfect. In terms of knowledge, right? Some of us will lift up someone like C.S. Lewis, or someone will maybe lift up someone like Tim Keller and say, wow, these people have really thought things through. We need to start thinking like that person, right? All of a sudden, that person that seems like they're really good at something becomes our goal, right? But some of us were like, we don't care about knowledge. I care about sports. Or I care about being a good mom. And you see someone that does it really well and you begin to feel like, wow, I want to become like that. But rather than looking at people in this world, what the Bible shows us is that there will be a perfect world one day. Keep your eyes fixed on that. And as you see that perfection, and we see that that will be for us, we can begin to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and the future life that we have and begin to live out that life today. It's just like what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 11 to 14. He says, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says he presses on toward that goal. And some people might be asking, well, Paul might be talking about something else here in terms of that goal. No, he's actually talking about the resurrection of the dead. If you look at that chapter, he's talking about how one day there will be perfection, and he's hoping, he's looking forward to, he knows it's going to happen, that he will be raised physically and will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now what happens is that he is motivated to work towards that. And so he presses on toward that goal. And so in the same way, just as Paul says it in Philippians, he says the same thing here in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers. Now, I want to remind you, the reason why he says my beloved brothers is not to point out that it's only for brothers, right? You can include sisters in here. My brothers and sisters. He's talking to believers, and he's saying this promise is for you, but also this command is for you, brothers and sisters. This is not just for pastors and missionaries and church planters out there. This command is for each and every one of you that calls yourself a Christian. Give it your all for the Lord. And he starts off by saying, be steadfast, immovable. This is actually the command. Some of your Bible versions will divide up these into three different commands, but actually there's one command in here. And the command is be. Be. And it adds two adjectives to it, immovable and steadfast, or steadfast and immovable. And these two words, they actually carry a similar meaning. What is this idea? The idea is kind of like roots from a tree that go deep into a ground, and it stays firm in there. And you cannot move that tree because the roots have gone down, and it holds the tree there. Or you can use the analogy of this house that's built on top of a good foundation. It has a really good foundation, and so this house is not movable. It will stay. And those are good examples, but one example that comes to my mind is when I play with my kids. Sometimes I play with my kids, and my kids, they just keep pushing against me. And sometimes, I don't know why they do it, they just keep wanting to lean against me. And then when I push back just a little bit, they just keep pushing even more. Then I might lose my balance. But what I do is I get down lower, I bend my knees. And once you bend your knees, then you have a better foundation, and no matter how much they push, they're not able to move you, right? That's the idea. You are steadfast. You are immovable. In what, though? In what? Well, before I talk about what it is, I want to talk about this idea of like being immovable, and that's the idea of being convicted. Staying convicted. Another way of saying this is be stubborn. Now, when we use this word stubborn, it doesn't really carry a good connotation with it. But the idea of stubborn is the same thing as the idea of being convicted. So what I mean by being stubborn is be stubborn about the right things. Be stubborn about the right things. Don't be stubborn about the wrong things. So what are we supposed to be stubborn about? Well, it explains to us in our verse today. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we need to be stubborn about. That's what we need to be steadfast and immovable about. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. What that implies, first of all, is that you are steadfast in the gospel. You have to know what we believe in order for us to continue in the work. Okay, so that's there, yes. But what Paul is trying to emphasize is be grounded, be immovable, stay convicted, be stubborn about continually doing God's work and giving it your all. The idea of the word abounding is really interesting. Okay, so say you're in a restaurant and someone pours you some tea. And at some point you're like, okay, thank you, that's enough. Some people may do this on the table, right? Meaning like thank you or that's enough, right? So like, okay, that's enough. But what if they kept pouring? And what if they kept pouring and your cup is just that little, right? And it starts pouring all over and it gets all over the table. And like, whoa, you're making a mess. The word abounding is this idea of overflowing. So when it says, always abound in the work of the Lord, the idea is give it more than what you can handle. Now, it even adds the word always in there. Now this is tough for some of us. But before we talk about how tough it is, I want to explain this a little bit more, all right? So we come to the second point. Okay, give it your all as you labor. Second point is as you labor. What is this work of the Lord about? What is this work of the Lord about? The basic idea is this. We've been talking about how one day we will be resurrected to life. And we'll be living a perfect life one day. And it'll be a wonderful thing. We'll be experiencing a life without any sin. Not only will we be experiencing a life without our own sin, we'll be experiencing a life without other people's sins against us. That'll be a wonderful life. But not only is that promise for the future, but that promise is for now also. It doesn't mean that we'll live a perfect life now, but we can begin to experience that life now. And the way that we begin to experience that life is by giving that life to others. As we are reminded of this promise from the Lord, we begin to give life to other people. That's the basic idea. And how does Paul talk about it? Well, Paul has been trying to argue for the resurrection body in chapter 15, and he ends it by saying, always abound in the work of the Lord. But this is after going through chapters 1 through 14 and explaining all kinds of different things throughout the whole book. What are some of the topics that are talked about? In chapters 1 through 4, he talks about how we need to be striving for unity in the church. If there's division within the church, there's a problem. If you don't know each other and you don't care about each other, that's a problem. If you are saying, I believe in this doctrine, and another person says, I believe in this doctrine, there's a problem when we don't unify in the Lord. And so chapters 1 through 4 talk about how we need to unify. That's the idea of giving life to one another here. The second topic in verses 5 through 7 talk about sexual purity and how we need to be striving to make sure that our church and God's people are sexually pure. That means fighting against sin. We don't have to just talk about sexual purity. We could talk about all kinds of sins. But what we need to be doing is we need to be fighting against sin. We need to be fighting against the temptations that come our way. And there will always be temptations. But we have a choice whether we will fall into the temptation or have victory over the temptation. In chapters 8 through 10, it talks about how we need to show love by being considerate of others. Now, the main topic in there is talking about food sacrifice to idols, but that could be applied to all different kinds of situations. Are we considerate enough? Are we loving to each other enough that we would consider where the other person is coming from and begin to show love to that person in a way that they would understand? Where I won't be saying, my way is better. You better do it my way. Or I don't care about you. I'm just going to do whatever I want. The way that we give life to other people is by considering where they're coming from. In chapters 11 to 14, it also talks about showing love to other people. But the way that we do that is by seeking to bless and build up the church. Making sure that the church is built up. Making sure other brothers and sisters are built up. How do we do that? Well, a good question to ask yourselves is, do you support the church? Do you support the church in its vision? Do you support the church in its values? Do you even know what our church is about? If you don't, we have membership classes that are coming up in March. But that's what it talks about. Are you abounding in these things? Not just for the sake of making our church better, but it's about showing or giving life to each other. And the more we give life to each other, the Bible tells us that we can also grow together and show life or give life to the world outside that still doesn't know Jesus Christ. And we need to be abounding in this type of work. Another way of saying this, there's one more actually, chapter 16. It's really interesting because, let me just read this together. Verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Chapter 16, now concerning the collection for the saints. Isn't that interesting? It says, abound in the work of the Lord. And now let's directly talk about what that could mean. Not only showing love to people, not only striving for unity, not only all that stuff, but it's also about giving financially. Right? That's what it says right after in chapter 16. And so, what does all this mean altogether? Jesus put it the best way. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. As you live this life, strive to see God glorified in all that you do, whether it be in the church, whether it be in your workplace, whether it be in your families, wherever it is, with your roommates, with your neighbors, wherever you are, seek to see the kingdom expand. But not only that, seek his righteousness. Make sure that you continue to grow in the Lord and that you are changing and growing as we look forward to that goal of a perfected body. Always abound, overflow beyond your capacity in the work of the Lord. Now, immediately for some of us, you hear that and you're thinking, wow, that's tiring. Some of us, you've already shared with me, I'm in a place where I just need to rest. And I do want to say, resting in the Lord is also part of the work of the Lord. There's a reason why God made day and night. You're supposed to rest at night. There's a reason why God created the Sabbath. You're supposed to rest on the Sabbath. So yes, rest in the Lord. But we need to continue in this work of the Lord. Perhaps the reason why some of us do experience something like burnout or continual stress, perhaps, is because of sin. Either our own sin, where we're striving after something, and because things don't work out the way we're hoping for, we begin to have stress over that thing. Or it's because of other people's sins and how they continue to sin against us. And it's just relentless, just keeps happening. Because of sin, we experience stress. And when that stress is prolonged, we experience burnout. It's hard to give beyond our capacity. It's hard to give it our all. And I know that for myself. This is God's command for me, as well as it is for you. And I'll tell you guys, I don't live up to this. Even in recent times, I'll share with you, I've wasted an hour or two just looking at the news. Because I just want to rest. Because I want to escape. I'm supposed to be working on the sermon, or I'm supposed to be meeting with people, but there are times that I waste time at work just looking at the news. I'm trying to deal with it. I have a commitment right now that says I'm limiting myself to 30 minutes of news a day. Okay, so that's one of my commitments that I made. But I fall into this too. So what's the answer? Give it your all for the work of the Lord, or for, oh man, as you labor, give it your all as you labor in the Lord. You know, it's really interesting. Paul finishes this verse by saying that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Or if you look at the Greek in the original language, it actually says, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And he's making a point. What he's saying is, none of your work, none of your strivings, even though you feel tired. And think about Paul, what he did. He said that he'd be willing to go through all kinds of beatings, He's willing to face other people's sins. He's willing to go through shipwrecks. He's willing to get stoned and get back up and dust off the dust and keep going. How? How is he able to do that? Because he has in mind that all of that labor, the work of the Lord, all of that labor is not in vain. Because even if he dies, he knows he's going to be raised again. It doesn't matter. He doesn't have to be afraid that he's going to die. Let me put it a different way. You don't have to worry about your plans not working out, that you don't have enough money, that you're not able to take care of yourself. What's the worst that could happen? You're going to die. I don't want to make light of this, but really, even if you die, we have a hope that we're going to be raised to life again. What's the worst that can happen in this world? Even if people hate me, even if people are criticizing me, even if people are defaming me, I don't have to worry about that. Because even though I die in shame and dishonor, there's a hope one day that I'll be raised in glory. All I have to do is keep thinking about the promise that I have in Jesus Christ, that one day I will be raised to life. I am a child of God. I am his precious child. He will keep me alive as long as he wants me to be alive. Why do I want to strive to stay alive in this world if it's not for the glory of God? I want to stay alive for his glory. But if it's his glory for me to die, then great, because I'll be with the Lord one day. That's why, as Christians, we can say, even if the worst happens, we're not afraid. Because we have a future hope in the Lord. And all of our strivings in this life is not in vain. As long as we keep our eyes on the Lord, we know that we will be resurrected with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ, one day. Even still, we're not able to be steadfast. We will be movable. We will not always abound in the work of the Lord. As I shared with you, that's what I do. I fail. But what we can think about and what we can trust in is that Jesus, he accomplished the work. When Jesus lived his life on this earth, he was steadfast. He was immovable. He abounded in the work of the Lord, and he accomplished it. He went all the way to the point of dying on the cross, and he was raised again from the dead. He became the last Adam. He became a life-giving spirit. He gave it all and sacrificed himself, not giving up, but rather giving up his life, so that there will be a final victory. It's like in those movies where you see all the soldiers getting hurt and falling on the battlefield, but you see that hero still charging forward, going to the end, and then giving up his life and getting that final victory. That's who Jesus Christ is for us. And we could look to our hero and know that there is victory because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to finish by reading these last verses. This is what Paul says in different parts of the Bible. This is what some other authors say in different parts of the Bible. And I'll tell you, each of these verses have the resurrection, the final trumpet sounding when Jesus Christ returns and how our bodies will be resurrected. All of these verses have that idea in mind. This comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. Paul says, "For you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21 says, "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 58, just want to remind you, says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Let's pray together.